You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hour number two here of Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR. Jason Gibbs, Jerod Cherry filling in for Nathan Zagura and Matt Wilhelm, both on vacation this week. Jerod and I will be back with you tomorrow, Thursday and Friday. It'll be Dave DiNatale and myself. Right now, though, we kick off the month of July with our 2016 opponent preview as we kick off hour number two. And every day we will preview the Browns' opponents in 2016 right around 2 o'clock. And joining us to kick things off, and it's preseason plus regular season, Rob Demovsky joins us from the Green Bay Packers. He's the reporter for ESPN's NFL Nation and covers Green Bay. And he's been on the show numerous times before, and we've pulled him away from vacation. Rob, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us, my friend.
It's my pleasure. How are you guys doing? How's everyone in Cleveland?
We're doing well. We're still coming off that high.
Yeah, I bet you are. I bet you are. Enjoy it.
Exactly. Since it only happens once every 54 years, whatever the 64, whatever the case might be. I don't remember.
You don't have to remember anymore.
Exactly. That's the key right there. And, you know, we're just, I guess we're on Dwayne Wade watch, but I don't see how realistic that can be. But the Cavs just started following Dwayne Wade on Twitter, so we'll see how that all, you know, turns out. Rob, we're talking about the Green Bay Packers, though, and the Browns' first opponent in the preseason. Obviously, it's the first opponent, and, you know, we're going to see the starters, some starters, probably not every starter for a series, and that will be about it. But, you know, taking a look at Green Bay, here's a team that – you know, got into the playoffs last year, had some magic moments, then went to Washington, big win against the Redskins in the playoffs, and then, you know, almost beats Arizona. And does that give this team any kind of momentum going into this season, or is the last season gone and done with, and let's look ahead to 2016?
Well, it's interesting when you think about how the last two seasons have ended for these guys. Last year, as you mentioned, the playoff loss at Arizona. I mean, they get the game to overtime on what's basically a Hail Mary play from Rodgers to Jeff Janis, and then they go to overtime, and they give up the long play to Fitzgerald, and they basically lose, on the first possession. They don't touch the ball. The year before that, of course, the NFC Championship game against Seattle, they have about 75 things go wrong in the last 4 minutes, and they blow a double-digit lead, and go to overtime, and again, don't touch the ball and lose in overtime. So this team has two straight overtime playoff losses where they never got the football. So there's a burning desire. There's a hunger there. There's definitely a bitter taste in their mouths for how these last two seasons has ended. I'm not sure how much you can carry any of that over. They're a good football team. They have a good quarterback. And they're going to be in that conversation. What those last two seasons have to do with 2016, I guess, is anybody's guess. But they do hang over this team very largely. They loom large the way they've lost the last 2 years in the postseason.
With that being said, about Aaron Rodgers, and obviously when you have a quarterback of his caliber, you're going to get things done and you're going to be in contention of something. Mm-hmm. What do you feel is missing to get them back to that actually appearing in the Super Bowl and what I regard as a championship level football team?
That's a great question. Yeah, I mean, you could look at it and simply say that defensively they haven't gotten it done. There's evidence of what we talked about where they've given up touchdowns in overtime without touching the football. I think that's too easy of a cop-out answer to put it all on the defense. Because you guys know how this league is. With the salary cap, you can't be dominant in every position. You know, you can't be great on both sides or all three phases of the football. It's just too hard with the way the salary cap is. I think their defense is good enough. But in those playoff games, I mean, that Seattle game, they didn't score enough. They got down to the red zone and had to settle for field goals. Arizona, they were offensively basically inept until late in the game when Rodgers was able to finally wing the ball down the field. I think they need to get more dynamic and more weapons offensively. Last year, obviously, they didn't have Jordy Nelson, their best receiver, for the whole season with a torn ACL, and they had their running back, Eddie Lacy, was out of shape and seemingly didn't seem overly committed to doing it the way that they wanted it to be done. So I think you can put some of the blame there. They get Nelson back this year. Lacy seems to be in better shape. They went out and signed a free agent tight end, Jared Cook, from St. Louis. They don't sign a lot of free agents here, so the fact that they went out and got one from another team shows you that they thought they were deficient in that area. And I just think offensively they need to get back to what they were in 2010, 2011, when they won the Super Bowl, then they went 15-1 the next year. They were unstoppable offensively.
ESPN NFL Nation Packers reporter Rob Domofsky joins us on the Ohio Business Machines hotline here on Cleveland Browns Daily as we preview the Green Bay Packers, the Browns' first opponent in the 2016 preseason. You mentioned Eddie Lacy. Are you buying the weight loss? Do you think he can keep it off? It looks like the work ethic got a little bit better here in the offseason for Mr. Lacy.
Yeah, it's interesting because, photos can do funny things to guys. I mean, if you remember back when Lacy was a rookie, 2013, there was this photo of him at practice. It was very unflattering. It made him look huge. And, I mean, he's a big running back. There's no question about it. But that photo, I thought, didn't necessarily portray him accurately. I don't think he was as big as that photo looked. Then this offseason, we saw all these photos of him after working out with Tony Horton, the P90X guy,
uh-huh.
and he looked really thin. And then when we saw him, when we showed up for OTAs the first time, he didn't look that thin. So I think the truth lies somewhere in between. He probably wasn't as big as he looked, and he's also not as skinny as maybe we thought he was this offseason. I think that they are happy that he committed himself to a workout program. I think the Packers feel like he still has work to do to get into the kind of shape that Mike McCarthy wanted when he stood up there after the season and said that Lacy can't play at the weight that he was last year, which, according to some of my sources, he was up near 260, if not higher. He's back in the 240s. Ideally, they'd probably like him to be closer to where he's listed at 234. It's probably not going to happen. But he does seem at least committed to this program, buying in to what they want him to be. The other thing is he's a power back. I don't think you want him too skinny, but you definitely want him committed to working out the right way.
Hey, you certainly do. And it's interesting about today's game because I came through when it was just making that transition from, hey, man, you don't want the biggest shoulder pads on the team anymore.
Right.
But you still wanted some semblance of protection because it was still about making contact.
Yeah.
But in this day and age, I think the idea of a power back ranging between 235 and 245 is legit because really the game is more about speed. And you don't have 270-something-pound Levon
right.
Kirkland middle linebackers no more in the game. They don't exist. So
no.
Someone please give Eddie the memo that, hey, man, don't eat yourself, because I'm assuming it's an eating problem, not a work ethic problem, or is it a work ethic problem?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's a lifestyle problem. And that's what Tony Horton, when I talked to him about his work with Lacy, he said, look, we never got on the scale. It wasn't about the number. It was about creating a lifestyle where, instead of ordering a pepperoni extra cheese pizza, it's, let's have some fresh vegetables and fruits and organic foods. And instead of cracking open a Bud Heavy, have a bottle of water with your meal. I think it was more of that and learning how to work out effectively by, doing things that it's not just running, lifting weights. They did a lot of boxing. They played basketball, things like that. I think it's more of that. It's more of a lifestyle issue than anything else. I mean, Eddie's a guy who grew up in New Orleans. I mean, we've all been to New Orleans. It's the greatest eating city in the world. I mean, you can eat and drink your way around that place. And I think it's just a lifestyle that Eddie Lacy had. He's a laid-back Southern guy from New Orleans, and he had to learn sort of how to do it.
Right. And having played in New Orleans for 4 years, I know exactly what you're talking about from that standpoint. I still can't believe the only place I've been in my life, Jay, where they have drive-through daiquiris. Well, they literally.
That's the problem.
To me, that's like Las Vegas. I love going there for 3 or 4 days. I could not live there.
Yeah. Like, no question. Rob Domofsky joins us from Green Bay as we preview the Packers here today on Cleveland Browns Daily. Jordy Nelson, how's his rehab coming? And then the wild card factor, I think, for the Packer wide receiver core, Devontae Adams. What can we expect from this guy? You want to talk about an up and down kind of season last year. What do we expect to see from these guys?
Well, that's a great question about Devontae, because if you remember as a rookie, he had a couple of just spectacular games, and they were big games. He had a big game against the Patriots, a big game in the playoffs against the Cowboys. These were national spotlight type games, where he had 6-7 catches and over 100 yards, and they thought going into his second year that he was going to be, continue those type of performances. I think two things happened. One, Jordy Nelson got hurt, and Devontae Adams, instead of going up against the number three cornerback, was going up against the team's number ones and twos. And two, he was just inconsistent. Didn't catch the ball as well. Had injuries. Had an ankle injury that kept him out for basically four games, parts of it anyway. Look, he's still a big, tall receiver that should be able to get open, athletic, strong, all the types of things that make Jordy Nelson so talented. He has many of those qualities. Having Nelson back to draw the attention of the defenses will help. But he's got to get more consistent. He has to get healthy. He has to get consistent. Rodgers likes him, trusts him. But if you don't start producing, Rodgers will start looking the other way. So it's definitely a big question mark, but a big potential for Devontae Adams to be a big playmaker in this offense. And what it also does is it opens things up in the interior for Randall Cobb, who is truly suited to play in the slot. And when Nelson went out and they tried to play Cobb on the outside, still had a good year, but not the same type of year that you would expect him to have in the slot, where he's able to operate in that area of the field that's just much more suited to a guy who's 5'10" and 190 pounds.
And Rob, do you see any of the draft picks being major contributors on this team?
Well, it was a meat and potatoes draft in terms of not a lot of skill position players. In fact, the only skill position guy was Trevor Davis, a fifth-round receiver out of Cal. And, I think they like him, but receiver's a deep position with Nelson coming back and some of the guys we've talked about. I do think that if you want to put your eye on one draft pick, it's obviously always easy to look at the first-round pick, and Kenny Clark, a defensive tackle from UCLA, will play and probably play a big role. But one of the guys that has really stood out this offseason and should get a big chance to play is Blake Martinez. He's a fourth-round pick, an inside linebacker from Stanford. Smart guy. They need a linebacker who can cover. They moved Clay Matthews back to the outside because they know that they need him to rush the passer, but they didn't necessarily have a coverage linebacker. Mike McCarthy has noted so many times in the last couple of years that this league has become about attacking the middle of the field, whether it's with a big receiver or tight ends. And Martinez looks like a guy who can cover up the middle. And that's really probably, I thought, one of the biggest holes on their defense going into this offseason. And now you say, well, a fourth-round pick, how much can they expect right away? He has been with the number one defense from day one. He has been inside. He and Jake Ryan, who was a rookie the previous year out of Michigan. It wouldn't be surprising to me if both those two guys were their starting inside linebackers in week one against Jacksonville. And you'll probably see them a ton when they open against the Browns on August 12th in the preseason.
All right, Rob, taking a question that I know you wrote about a few weeks ago. Are the Packers still the king of the NFC North?
I still think they are, and here's why. Minnesota Vikings did win the division last year and ended a run of four straight division titles by the Packers. But look, the Packers and Patriots are the only two teams in the NFL that have made the playoffs every year going back to 2009. I do like the Vikings. I like their coach, Mike Zimmer. You like their defense, obviously the running back. But if you're ready to tell me that Teddy Bridgewater is going to be the dominant, quarterback and lead them to a division title again, I'm just not ready to buy it. I think the Packers have too much going for them. They are still the team to beat, in my opinion, in this division.
All right. Rob Domofsky from ESPN NFL Nation covers the Packers. Rob, appreciate the time. Real quick question for you. How's the golf game right now? Is it in peak condition, knowing that in 3 weeks you're going to be done?
Put it to you this way. If my golf game isn't good now, it's never going to be good. covering the NFL is a little bit like being a teacher. You have the season, and then you have late June, July, and that's about it.
Yeah, that's I've come to that conclusion that my golf year is now 2 months, if I'm lucky, maybe 2.5.
Exactly.
Well, hey, I won't keep you from it any longer. Appreciate the time today, Rob. Continued success, and we'll see you when we get to Green Bay in August.
All right, always good to talk to everybody in Cleveland. Thanks.
You got it, man. That's Rob Domofsky from ESPN's NFL Nation. Covers the Packers. Some good stuff there as we count down to the start of training camp with today's opponent preview. We'll take a timeout when we come back. More on Cleveland Browns Daily. We'll take your phone calls. Take your phone calls on the Browns. Take your phone calls as it relates to the NBA and Kevin Durant. We've talked a little bit about everything today. 216-578-0850. It's Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR. DJ Khaled.
Hey. Yeah. All I do is win. You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
It's the Gerard Sherry Dancing with a Shirt Off song for today. Tuesday.
Heck yeah. this song, though, you got to twirl your shirt. You just can't just be jumping up and down. You know what? I knew I forgot to do something.
What?
Club Nast. I was supposed to be doing push-ups and sit-ups this whole 2 hours.
You're gonna be kidding.
Gosh, I guess I get the last 30 minutes in. Dang, I knew I was supposed to do something today.
I was going to say, it's just today and tomorrow here.
Hey, you got to get in when you can, man.
I worked out had a great workout this morning. Focused on the core, a little cardio after eating like complete garbage for the weekend.
See, now I have a treadmill at home, so I'll get the run in today, but I guess I can do some. I'll just do a bunch of push-ups and sit-ups when I get home because I won't be able to get to the gym today.
Yeah. No. If I don't go first thing in the morning, it's not happening.
Really?
Because later in the day.
It doesn't matter. I can go whenever.
Yeah, I got up, made the wife a little breakfast, made her lunch,
packed
her up, sent her out the door, and said, "I got to go."
She's like, "Thank you very much."
You betcha, man. About 7:30 this
morning.
Beautiful
thing.
Got in a little 90-minute workout, so not too shabby at all. So Gibbs and Gerard in today and tomorrow. Dave Di Natale and I Thursday and Friday. Nathan and Matt are off this week. And we're taking your phone calls at 216-578-0850. He has been waiting on hold, so let's go to him. Stan in Brooklyn. Stan. What's going on, buddy?
I went down to Dappy Dan's and had myself a personalized Stan the Man t-shirt made.
Oh, yeah?
Posted on Facebook.
Oh, there you go.
And are you selling it on Facebook?
I was at the Cleveland Clinic, and I wore it there to see my cardiothoracic surgeon. And the nurses came out, and we listened to you on KNR, Stan the Man. We got to get a picture of this right away.
Oh, well, there you go, buddy.
Take a great picture of me, and I appreciate KNR reaching out to Stan. You know, but I had a question for Gerard.
Sure.
Okay? Gerard, do you think because of the pollution and the Zika virus and all that, that the attendance at the Olympics will be down because of this? I want your opinion on this. I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks, Stan.
From an international standpoint, I think it's going to be down anyway. You have so much going on with threats of terrorism. You have issues in Europe from a financial standpoint in which now the currency in Brazil is not doing that great. But right now, a lot of people are just in a shaky place because we don't know what's going to happen from a financial standpoint. Then you couple that with you can go to a country where there's political unrest as well as just the things that you're used to having in Western society of drinking water, where Olympics is being held, doesn't sound like, even though it's an exotic, beautiful place and some place that definitely should be on your things to see and do before you die, but just seems like it's going to be a culmination of a bunch of bad things, and I don't wish that on Brazil. Heck, my wife is Brazilian, and I have a big affinity for the country and what it represents. But with that being said, though, Jay, no, I don't think it's going to be, or Stan, rather, since you asked the question, no, I don't think it's going to be that large of attendance. I don't see that many Americans going there, and we're just a continent from it. And I don't see people from Europe going there as well for the reasons that I just outlined. So I think it'll be down. And then on top of that, I think a lot of Brazilians are upset about the fact that their government dumped so much money into facilities that'll probably only be used once.
And right now still aren't ready.
And aren't even ready. Like the golf course, for example. There is no golf course in Rio. They're building one. Now, some people will use it, but will it be used enough to support it? The idea of what went into building that infrastructure? No. And on top of that, they have, again, political unrest because people are like, I want food. I want better roads. I want better transportation. And here you are trying to show out for the rest of the world. We don't have our problems straight at home. It's embarrassing, you think about
it. It's amazing because I had friends a couple of years ago that went to the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually know some VIPs at Nike. They got to go for 2.5 weeks to the mm-hmm. World Cup. And now he goes, you know, was it safe then? No, we had to have a security detail everywhere right. we went. But he goes, I was on the beach. We were in the city. He goes, it was an amazing time. It was a beautiful place. No problems. No issues. Clearly, you don't drink the water. Understood.
Right.
You know, you watch what you eat and whatnot. He goes, to see how much worse it's gotten in the 2 years since they were there, he said, is just mind-blowing to him. Because right. I asked him, I said, I go, would you go back? He goes, no.
Yeah.
Well, not the way it's in right now.
Well, the telltale sign for me was this. When they first got the bid, and this also is sad, but it also correlates with the fact that Brazil's economy is based with commodities. China stopped buying, they're in trouble. We stopped buying certain things, global markets on the down, they're in trouble because they're commodity-based, along with the corruption that's going on, but that's always going on there. That's nothing new.
Sure.
So that's just write that out. But the whole thing is that they lost money, and they weren't able to afford certain things that they signed up for, thinking that things were going to stay great.
Status quo. Yeah.
Right, and they didn't. They obviously have gone down, and you're seeing that because when they went from talking about, okay, we're going to be serving steak on a nightly basis to our Olympians, as well as making sure everyone has a flat-screen TV in their room. And you say, okay, what's the big deal about that? Well, it went from people now sharing rooms and to now feeding athletes beans and rice. So it went from protein to a cheaper form of protein.
Yeah.
From steak to beans and rice tells you all you need to know.
Yeah. It's unfortunate, and it seems like things are only getting worse over there.
Yeah, well, and again.
And the world stage is going to be at your door here in about a month.
Well, it's there, and it's right now it's ripe for a massive failure. I mean, you just had and they can't control this. If someone went swimming on the beach and they got bitten by sharks and the body parts floating on the beach, you can't do anything about that. But if this was a situation where it was gang killings and you really, what can you do about that as well? But you'd like to think that, hey, can we get some type of truce for the next 2 or 3 weeks so we don't really make our country look bad? Because, hey, one of the benefits of this, if we do things the right way, is that some of these companies may want to invest in our infrastructure and make things better. But right now, I mean, it's a paradise there from a topography standpoint. But when you look at the underside of it, it's some gruesome stuff going on.
216-578-0850, we're talking Olympics, talking Browns. Also been talking about the NBA and the NBA salary cap. Rodney Anasel, welcome to Browns Daily.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking the call. I got two sort of quick questions. The first one may be complicated. This weekend, when the gentleman batted out of order for the Nationals, right, he was supposed to be the fourth batter, and he batted third. You guys catch that story?
No.
I did briefly, yes.
Okay, so my question is, I didn't get a chance to follow. When is he officially out? When he steps into the batter's box, or is he out after the first pitch? I'd like to see if someone knows the answer. And the next question is, with in regards to that, who bats then? Who's the next at batter? Does this guy bat again? Because now he is officially supposed to be up as the fourth batter. Now, what I want to mention is the NBA. My understanding is, and what a deal this is, if the salary cap minimum is going to be, say, $90 million, for example, and your team only spends $75 million, the 15 players each get $1 million bonus check to get them up to $90 million. Did you hear that?
Rodney, thanks for the phone call. I don't know if they would get. They just end up getting.
Let me answer that for you. No, it's not going to happen. You think an owner is going to give give a guy who
they have to spend X
amount. They have to spend it, but they're going to allocate it towards guys who they want to give it to and who they're trying to get in their graces with. They're not going to give a guy at the back end of the bench that $1 million. They won't do that.
No. Not only are they not going to do that, but, I mean, you got to save some for in season. If you got to make a move, if you got to acquire some salary, whatever, you can unload some of it. I mean, you have plenty of options.
That'd be a great gesture.
Yeah,
you definitely boost some team building involved with that. I promote it.
Boost a little morale.
Heck yeah, man! The owner got love for us, dog. They gave us all $1 million.
All right, so here's my question with the whole salaries and whatnot in the NBA. Does it hurt other leagues in terms of not right now necessarily, but in terms of, you know, the youth playing, in terms of numbers, in terms of development of your league for future reference? You know, if you're a kid or if you're a parent and you're seeing what's going on in the NBA, mm-hmm. and you know the concussion history in the NFL and what's going on there, you know, is the NBA quickly moving up in the eyes of people that are hopeful that one day their kid can be the next guy that makes $72 million for being average?
That's a great question. The thing is, though, what I think saves the NFL from not getting superseded by the NBA is that there are only so many 6'6 and 6'7 guys with that framework and that body type that can do what they do. And they're... aren't that many guys that they're going to lose out to from a talent standpoint because of just the finiteness of being an NBA player. You can be an NBA player and transition to the NFL. You can't necessarily be an NFL player and transition to the NBA, because even though you may have height.
Sure.
But if you're a 6'6 guy and you weigh 300-some pounds, you're not playing on an NBA basketball team. You're a small person from a height standpoint, even though you may be humongous from an NFL standpoint. So I think because just of what the different body dimensions that require in the game, that you're not going to too much so overlap. Now, you will overlap in high school, but by that point in time, I think guys have an idea what's their best sport to make it to that next level. I think you have a clue by then.
Yeah.
Now, there are those special guys who can do both.
It's interesting to me, you know, I mean, if I'm a parent, mm-hmm. and even if I'm an NFL player, you got to sit there and go, wow, I'm making this much. And I'm one of the top – I'm in the top 10% of players in the National Football League, and I'm making this. And it's not even a blip on the radar compared to what an NBA player that's an average player is making.
Right. And you also got to be savvy and aware that, hey, there's 12 of them and there's 53 of us.
Exactly.
So that part computes in. But it does create, no doubt about it, competition – because I always joke about this, but it's so trivial but true that a lot of times, man, when one team's winning on championship level, when they step into the club, they have ownership of the city. That's where all the, for lack of a better word, groupies and the female attention, which guys are trying to garner in this environment, because it's just being truthful about you, how this world operates. They're getting it, and you're seeing the second fiddle and second class, and it bothers guys, and they want to do something about it. Now, for silly, trivial reasons, but that's part of the lifestyle.
Sure.
Not for every player, but it is part of it. That is the element to it. Like, man, we went to the club last night. The Cavs players came in. We got no love. Or if the Indians walk in, oh, we got more love than they got. Those silly, stupid, trivial conversations, I participate in them in the locker room, and I've overheard plenty of them.
Sure. I can only imagine. And that, again, should boost everybody else's play.
It makes guys step up. I think you're going to see everyone stepping up in Cleveland sports.
Big fan of that, especially from our football team.
Yeah.
Starting in 24 days. 24 days in like an hour from now. Afternoon practices. We'll get to those coming up as well, but coming up after the timeout, it's After Further Review Weekend Edition. Our own Matt Fontana has prepared us some questions, and we will go through those when Cleveland Browns Daily continues on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Couldn't grow.
Back here with you on Cleveland Browns Daily, Gibbs and Sherry, along with Matt Fontana. The same three tomorrow on Browns Daily. And we will continue with our CBD replays, our Browns 2016 opponent previews, and we will get you ready for July 29th and the start of the 2016 Browns season and training camp. Right now, though, after a busy holiday weekend, it's a little after further review weekend edition with our own Matt Fontana.
After further review.
All right, guys. First one, where will Dwayne Wade be playing basketball next season?
South Beach.
I'm seeing now he wants 2 years and at least $50 million. That would be out of the Cavs. I just can't see the Cavs. I don't know how the Cavs would make it work. Well, it all comes down to if LeBron would take a pay cut, and you're talking, and even if he took a $10 million pay cut, it's still not going to be enough.
Right.
You couldn't sign anybody else. There's no way JR's coming back.
Right. And I don't even think for him to come here is even going to be about the money, because this is a situation where you can't have your money and play with each other too. You just can't.
Yeah.
So you got to make a decision. We're
going to
take a pay cut.
This is probably Dwayne Wade's last payday.
Right.
So, I mean, unless he signs a one-year deal, I don't see him getting another big payday like this one's going to be. This is it for him. And the Cavs just can't match
that. 50 large.
So I don't know why the Cavs are following people on Twitter, but
why not, though?
Just to throw it in there. Just to, hey, if they're snarking on the Heat right now,
go ahead.
Fantastic.
I like it.
Couldn't happen to a nicer guy in Pat Riley.
I think it's going to be here, guys. I mean,
you really think so?
I think at the end of the day, Dwayne Wade owes LeBron for, because you really think Wade would be in a position to demand things from Miami if he didn't win those two rings with LeBron? He'd have been long gone out of Miami if it had not been for LeBron. So I think Wade owes him that. They're really good friends, and I think Wade posted it the other day that there's more to life, than just money. He said relationships are very important.
Right.
I think that's what he tweeted. So that makes it sound like, hey, he can make some more money. Maybe his wife can make another movie and they can make up that money, or he can get paid down the road. I think for Wade, the Cavs are a real possibility.
I don't know how they make that work. And then who's going to be on the Cavaliers bench?
Right.
Well, and the other thing too is, I mean, David Griffin's shown that he's got some wizardry up his sleeve.
He does.
Made moves in the past where he cuts contracts,
sure.
And if it would be like Mo Williams going or something, I don't know.
What's the allure to this? Because LeBron and D Wade are joining forces again. That same duo, just 3 years ago, LeBron had to get out of there because he just felt that they wouldn't get it done. Now I understand with Kyrie and K Love in the place that they are getting it done, literally. But I get the whole nostalgia of being with your boy. That's an excellent feeling, traveling around, just having a good time and making it like college days all over again. But part of me still says, too, if you're D-Wade, what is it about that? Because he's going to have to be the one to make the sacrifice. And that sacrifice is going to be dollar bills.
I almost see this as like a closure for me. I can really finally put the Miami years behind me.
It would be great to see Dwayne Wade.
You know what I mean?
Like, that'd be hilarious.
It's a shot back at Miami, shut them up, and I think that would finally just give me a little bit of closure.
And would Cleveland officially be cool?
Dwayne Wade came here.
Leave her from Miami to come back.
Next.
We get LeBron. He's from here.
After further review,
who is the better point guard, guys? Steph Curry or Russell Westbrook? Durant gave up Westbrook for Curry.
That's a good question.
I'm going to go with Curry. And the reason why I'm going to go with Curry is because obviously something about his character, because they're both on par as great players. We'll all agree with that.
Yeah.
But there was something with the newness of Curry and what that represents that made Durant say, you know what? I need to give this a try because I don't like a lot of things about Russell. And Curry does come across to me as being a humble, selfless guy, even though he did get caught up in arrogance this year, and I think it cost him a ring.
I still think Westbrook's a better player.
Yeah, but you know what, Matt? You're right. I take that back. Because when I look at it, if I say just strictly offensive shooting.
Yeah, just like.
But far as doing it on both ends,
right.
Westbrook is a better player.
I think Westbrook's the better player.
He's a more complete player. I agree.
So I think
I take that back.
I hate Curry in the fact that I think he's a crybaby, and when things don't go his way, he bows out. But, I mean, the guy won the MVP. He was a unanimous MVP. Something tells me he's got to be the better player. And yeah, Westbrook had a healthy Durant this year.
Yeah, but you...
I love Westbrook. I love Russell Westbrook. He's a top five or six player. He's among the top five or six in the league.
Gibbs, are you a top player when a team wants to go at you on the offensive end and say, hey, that's the weakness? Because they wouldn't. The Cavs, if we were playing against the OKC, we wouldn't have taken that approach and tack with Westbrook. We would not have.
No.
We would have tried to isolate, make sure Kyrie was nowhere near that guy.
Yeah.
From a offensive standpoint.
I mean, I'll give you that. I think it's hard when the guy's got an MVP ring and he's got a championship and you don't have anything. Next.
After further review.
I wasn't sure how to word this one, so you're just going to have to follow me on this one.
Nice.
The NBA will regret the trend of the big three. I mean, the Cavs have gone to how many? LeBron, I should say, has gone to how many Eastern Conference Finals now? The Warriors are not going to go anywhere. The NBA in a couple of years will regret
the mega teams.
The mega teams.
I would disagree with that, Matt, because right now we're in dead season. Basketball is supposed to be over. What's still in all the storylines right now?
True.
And next year, are you not excited to see what the heck that's going to look like?
Yeah, next year's
will you not be tuning in? And some people, how many people are going to buy NBA sports packages because of that? Yeah. How many people?
That's a good point. I just think that if you have the same thing over and over, you need to have those.
Yeah, but it's been repackaged, though.
I guess, but it's just, I guess you're right, because it's not the same teams, but it's just, it gets boring.
They're not going to regret it, because going back to the Laker days, when they had James Worthy and
Kareem
and Magic on a team, and then they had Bird and McHale and Parrish, you know.
DJ.
Everybody's kind of had a mega team. Whether they've actually gone out and gotten the superstars.
It just seemed like it was organic, but really was it? Because Kareem was a trade.
Yeah.
Worthy was drafted.
I would like them to regret it, only because I'd love to see star players take teams on their backs and win it all. I was torn by that actually throughout the playoffs this year with LeBron. I'm like, it's great, but like...
Yeah, but if a guy searches his heart and his soul and he comes to determination...
But that's today's NBA.
I can't get it done, man.
Yeah, that's today's NBA.
I'm done.
Final one today.
After further review...
I actually added one more, so we're going to have two more.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sorry. Do we only normally do four?
That's all right.
I'll add one more. The one I added was, who's the Indians' biggest rival right now? I mean, I would say normally Detroit, but we haven't lost to them yet this year.
I would say Kansas City.
I would say Kansas City, too. Gerard?
I would go with KC as well.
Even though we've kind of owned, I mean, we've owned everybody.
Yeah,
I wouldn't
leave that alone, though.
But
one team we haven't owned, which we will have to face if we keep this up, will be the Rangers.
Yeah.
They are playing some good baseball out
there.
Yes,
they are.
And they're under the radar.
Totally. No one's talking about them. And they're leading their division.
Yep, everybody's got Cubs fever. Meanwhile, the Cubs lead's been dwindling a little bit.
Right.
After further review.
Okay, now with the final one. Obviously, we all watched, or some of us watched, the Nathan's hot dog eating contest yesterday. So if you were a competitive eater, what would your food of specialty be?
Oh, easy. Boneless wings.
Boneless wings. Nice. Good answer. God, you might have to. I said macaroni and cheese on the really big show. You give me those trays of the Stouffer's mac and cheese,
mm-hmm.
I could eat up three of those right now.
Yeah, boneless wings, dog.
That's
I could
good.
Demolish them.
Gibbs?
I love my pizza, but I can't competitively eat a pizza.
Well, you feel like you'd ruin it for your...
Yeah.
Savor it.
Yeah, I'm too much of the savoring guy. Boy, that's a great, great question. You know what? I might go burgers. I could pound some burgers.
Yeah.
I can pound some. I could. Yeah.
I love burgers too, but I couldn't do like no 10 of them.
See, but it's like that.
Oh, I could.
Like wings and, you know, mac.
Maybe
but
not
like
10.
It's the bun and then the burger.
Right,
like, you know,
right.
They do that the hot dog where they eat
it's
one
all right.
hot dog.
I could do the hot dogs too, I feel like. I feel like I'd be all right at the hot
Plus,
dog.
Plus, I hate plain hamburgers. So, like, if I got it as a competitive eater, I would have
with
to put
mayonnaise, mustard.
Yeah, right.
I did that too, but
and you're not supposed to do that in competitive eating. So,
yeah, it's the boneless wings. I had a buddy. that was, God rest his soul, because he passed away a couple of years ago. But the Applebee's baby back ribs,
yes,
or what, the bone, you know,
that Applebee's has the best wing.
We went into that place. We used to go because they used to have like special deals or whatever.
They used to have late night happy hour.
Yeah, but they had the baby back ribs. I watched a buddy of mine eat 105.
Of what?
Baby back ribs.
They didn't kick him out?
Nope. It was all you could eat at the time.
It's got to be a quantity on that. Well, good Lord.
Yeah. It was amazing and impressive.
Whoa.
All right. We got to get a final timeout in. When we come back, we'll wrap up a Tuesday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
All right, wrap it up. A Tuesday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR. I want to thank Rob Domofsky from the ESPN Packer NFL Nation.
Right.
Great job wrapping, previewing the Packers. And we'll continue with our previews tomorrow. And you can catch all of this edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, if you missed it today, on the Cleveland Browns website and mobile app. So, Gerard Cherry, a quick 2 hours for you, my
friend. That's right. I hear we're going to do it again tomorrow.
We are going to do it tomorrow. Same with Matt Fontana. Thanks for all his help on the other side of the glass. Thank you for listening. The Golden Boys with Aaron Goldhammer and Eric Williams is next. I'm Jason Gibbs. Thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.